Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. We're back.
It's us. It's your ghosty gals.
Oh my god. Were you expecting it to be us?
Was this a surprise to you? Surprise.
You were right. Congratulations.
I'm proud of you for knowing that we're us and you are you.
And good morning if it's morning.
That's right.
Good afternoon if it's afternoon. Mm-hmm. And good evening if it's evening. And good jolly night if you're listening at like a random time in the middle of the night.
Yeah, good jolly night to
jolly
special
night.
Nighttime listeners.
Because we all know
that's the scariest, spookiest time of the day.
It is the
spookiest
time of the day.
That means you're very brave.
And increasingly, because I am not working right now, my schedule is becoming nocturnal slowly.
Yeah.
Like every day.
That makes sense.
I wake up a little later and stay up a little later. So I've been staying up until I'd like force myself to go to sleep at like 3 a.m.
I like read this thing on Twitter, I think, or like it was an Instagram meme or something. It was like, we all weren't built to be awake in the day. Like, we weren't all built for the 9 to 5. Some of us were built to be around the campfire telling stories and keeping watch. And I was like, that sounds really stupid, but also that's a vibe. Like,
I guess maybe
maybe that's
back,
yours and my destiny.
Way
in
back
the, in
my,
the caveman days.
My ancestors were the ones who kept watch at night.
Yeah.
I mean, makes sense. I am very pale. I'm not meant to be outside during the day.
You're just not meant to be outside full stop.
No, I think I could go outside, but at nighttime.
Yeah, of course. Like the vampires. Wait, what?
I am way back. I guess I'm a vampire, but like the whole vampirism thing kind of got rid of that. But the staying up all night thing, that's the lust
for blood gene became extinct at some point, but the nighttime gene.
I don't have
going.
Much of that, but I do have the I just want to sleep through the day.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get up in the morning, and by the morning I mean like 1 p.m. and then
in
the really
morning you mean the early afternoon.
It's really hard to go to sleep at, like, 3 a.m. Like, I have to really, really work on it.
Oh, I, like, have fully trained my body to wake up at, like, 8:30 every morning. And for me, that's really, really early. And that's because I, like, have set an alarm and make sure I go to bed, like, before 1 o'clock every night. But I usually stay up till like 2 at night most days, even so.
I just have an alarm set because I don't have anything like specifically to do. I have an alarm set for like 11.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I wake up at 11.
You notoriously, we've said it once, we'll say it again, you notoriously don't listen to alarms.
No.
Cecilia's going to do what Cecilia's going to do. Oh, by the way, I'm Carly.
Oh, yeah, I'm Cecilia.
And this
That's
is
me.
Ghosts Are Everywhere, the podcast where we talk about our sleeping habits, clearly.
Yeah, it's really important stuff that you guys need to know about if you're going to be our best friends.
That's right. And you are. So you need to know these informations.
Yeah.
Because there's many
So you need to
know
these
to
things.
Know. Yeah.
Just in case you text me in the morning and I don't respond until 2 p.m. It's
Correct.
Because I probably haven't woken up. And then I also don't text back for like a solid hour after I've woken up, because I'm
Absolutely.
Not mentally prepared to do so.
No, you're not awake to the world. I mean, having lived with you for years, I like, you sleep late, and then once you're awake, it's not awake time yet. You have to just wait a bit.
No. I need a solid hour.
That's fine and good. See, I like normally in my bones, in my like the way that I truly am, my essence, I'm a late sleeper as well. But once I'm up, I'm kind of up. Sometimes it can be irritable, but
also
I'm up.
I also won't get up is the thing where like
that's true.
I don't understand people. Like, I can't relate to people who just like wake up and get out of bed immediately.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
I need like a good 2 minutes. I used to be like an hour. I used to be like like you.
Ideally, I would love an hour.
Yeah.
To prepare myself mentally and physically to get out of bed.
Yeah. See, I've gotten to the point in being an adult that this is maybe not healthy. Maybe I should be more like you, which is also another way to be. I get like too anxious if I'm not awake and going. I get like, I like think I'm late for something because I'm like, I set an alarm for a reason, but more so it's just so I can get a start on my day.
I know I am aware that I didn't set an alarm for a reason, and there's nothing time sensitive. Even when there is something time sensitive, I'm like, I don't need all that time to get ready.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I have, like, witnessed you, like, wake up and leave the house in 5 minutes.
I have, and I will again.
Yeah, just because you're like, I don't need to be up yet.
No. But and then it's like 5 minutes to the point where you have to leave, or it is like the time that you should be leaving, and like, fuck, I guess I should get out of bed now.
And you're like, okay, I'll get I'll go. And then in 30 seconds you're out the door. It's truly incredible. So
it is a skill, and it it's not a skill that you should be practicing.
Yeah, I don't know anyone should cultivate that skill, but it's something.
It's good to have in the back pocket.
Some of us are just meant to be up at night telling stories from the fire. Keeping watch. Celia, have you been keeping much watch this week?
No.
No, that's okay. You haven't been on the lookout?
I haven't been keeping watch for shit. I haven't been like going outside much.
That's good. You've been keeping safe then.
I've been continuing my hibernation. And then it snowed. Which just doubled down on the, like, I can't go outside.
It has snowed so much.
There's like 2 feet of snow outside. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's been so snowy. It's literally winter now. And I'm like, what?
And I live in like a basement apartment. So I'd have to like dig myself out.
Literally.
And I just was not willing to do that.
Of the snow.
I was like, no, I'm staying down here.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm buried in snow.
R.A.P. Cecilia. She'll thaw out with the spring thaw.
Yeah. I was like, I'll leave the house when it thaws out a little bit more. When the snow melts.
Really?
For now. I did, like, seriously consider getting my groceries delivered today.
Stop! I love that for you. I love that. That's a me move. That's a me move.
But, like, the biggest struggle of, like, getting to the grocery store is like getting, like, it's the first two steps. It's the getting through the backyard.
Yeah.
Through to the sidewalk.
The drifts of snow.
Through that. Once you get past that. And then Luke, my brother, who I live with, he shoveled. So I was like, oh, that's good. Now I can leave, I guess.
That's right. Shout out to Luke for being Cecilia's personal snow removal service, because I wasn't about to leave the house.
Not about to get out of the house and shovel. Are you kidding me?
Oh my god, so good, so good. I'm kind of lucky in that I live with my parents, and my dad loves snow blowing. It's his favorite activity. For a man that hates the cold, he loves snow blowing. Whether I don't know if he just like he loves it, or if he just loves it because he's a Capricorn and it's something to do.
It's a task and to also get it's done. Exciting if you have a snowblower because you're like showing off. You're like, look at me, I have a snowblower.
Yeah, I remember, like, whenever it snows, he like snowblows like half of the people on our street.
Yeah,
I mean, it's because a lot of them are like 80, but he like snowblows them all, and I'm like, Dad, like, not to be rude, but if you're following us on Instagram, you know what Cam looks like. he's not a young man. He's my dad. Like, he's a dad. And I'm like, Dad, you're old. Like, I razz him a little sometimes. I'm like, Dad, you're an old man. Like, let these other old people do it themselves or have their kids do it. You don't have to do it for everybody. But he's like,
but he has a snowblower. No,
I know. And like, I mean, my dad's like old-ish. He's not like ancient, but
he can do it.
But he loves the snowblower, and he loves being the strongest man in the world. His favorite activity, so he does both of those every time it snows, and it's very funny to watch. But even with his efforts, we were still with the storm pretty much snowed in.
Because also people have like driveways. I've never had a driveway ever.
Oh,
like,
that's
my parents
true
don't have a driveway
because
they live in like an old ass neighborhood, and they're not legally allowed to have driveways on their street for some reason.
That's right.
It ruins the integrity of the historical.
It ruins the vibe, yo.
Neighborhood ruins the vibe. So they don't have driveways, so like shoveling driveways, that's a lot of work.
There's so many times where my mom as a kid, she'd be like, go and help your dad, and I'd be like, okay, here I go. And of course, my dad's not gonna let me use a snowblower because, again, he loves a snowblower, and it's his thing, it's his toy, it's his whatever. And I'm out here with a freaking blue shovel from Canadian Tire, just like am I doing it?
You're like Doug Ford, like
digging in. Literally, that's me. And it's wild, but it's fine. I actually don't tell my parents I said this, but I kind of like digging out snow because it's like, at least for a little bit, because it's just like,
I hate snow, you get to be
in the snow. And as an adult, people don't like let you be in the snow very much unless you're like doing a sport.
You can be in the snow as much as you want. Just put on some snow pants and jump in.
Yeah, but like people don't like let you do that. They're not like, you're not encouraged to do that.
Who's not letting you do that?
My mom doesn't let me. She says,
as an adult, my mom doesn't let me.
Yeah, what can I say? I like to follow the rules.
I mean, as an adult who lives with her Italian mom, there's the, like, parentheses there. There's some extra. It's more specific than that.
Yeah. No, it's, I haven't shoveled in a while because my dad has a new snowblower for the past 2 years, and he's really obsessed with it. So he doesn't really, it doesn't take him a long time, and it's light, and he doesn't like help either because he's a Capricorn, as I mentioned. So, yeah. Besides that, there's no updates. Snowing.
That is the latest thing that has happened to us in our lives, so that's why we're talking about it so much.
Yeah, it's so fresh in our minds, like the fresh drifts of snow outside my window.
If you don't live in, like, southern Ontario or wherever else is getting a ton of snow.
Or the East Coast or anywhere.
The East Coast,
really,
wherever else.
Everywhere is getting snow, yo.
Yeah, if you don't live somewhere in, like, the northern states.
Yeah, if you live in the south of some kind.
Canada. Or, congratulations. Yeah. And can I come live with you?
Congratulations, and do you want to adopt us? Because we're snowed in, and we're a little exhausted from that, if you can believe it.
I want it to be warm. I want to just go outside and not freeze to death. Or, you know what's really hard? Walking in the snow.
Oh, that's true. Like, going distances in the snow. I truly, Cecilia, I'm looking back at the times when we lived in Ottawa. We've talked about living in Ottawa on the podcast before.
Oh, my God.
But I don't remember how we did it. Like, I don't know.
Slip inside, baby.
Because people in Ottawa don't do sidewalks. There's too much snow. They just don't.
They just give up.
Yeah. They, like, there's always a good, like, 6 inches, 8 inches of snow on the ground at all times. Whereas, like, here, where we live, at least people, like, do clear the sidewalks.
Well, not this time.
Pretty much-ish.
Where I am, there were a lot of. I also decided to cut through. There's, like, a park across the street from the grocery store that I go to, and I, like, cut through the park.
Well, see, that's your own fault for choosing a weird path like you always do, Cecilia. You can't blame the community for that. Because the sidewalks are shoveled and salted.
Please shovel
Cecilia's community. Please help her and shovel the park.
Please help me.
Shove her the park, please.
Please shovel specifically the route that gets me from the street to.
Yeah, she'll draw you a map. And she needs you to please shovel it. Because she's not going to, as we previously examined, she's going to get Luke to do it.
Yeah, I don't shovel.
She doesn't shovel. She doesn't have arms for it.
No.
She doesn't have the skills.
I don't have the arms for it. I'm sorry.
She doesn't have the endurance. She doesn't have the arms for it. She's not built for shoveling.
I mean, I can shovel. I just don't. It's like math. I don't do math. I can do math. I don't.
No, you just refuse to.
Yeah.
It's not in your nature to shovel. Yeah.
No.
No. See, I like it sometimes. So.
I was not made to shovel. My ancestors didn't shovel.
That's right. They sat around the campfire and told stories. They didn't shovel.
They kept lunch. They were not the shovelers.
No, they were not the shovelers. Yeah, yours and my ancestors were the ones sitting around the fire cracking jokes, doing what we're doing instead of shoveling inside.
And that's why we're here. We're
and
gathered
that's why
around
we're
the
doing
campfire.
It. You like it.
We're not workers. We're artistes.
Ain't that the ding dang truth, baby?
I'm sorry. We're the jesters in the court.
Correct. Correct.
So that's what we're going to do today. We're not going to shovel.
No.
We're going to tell you a damn story.
Yeah, we're going to shovel some stories into your ear holes. That's about
shovel
the only shoveling we're going to be doing.
Words into your brain.
You're welcome. We're doing the heavy lifting here, baby.
Oh my God, we're doing so much heavy lifting into your little noggins.
Yeah, and you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy, as always.
So if you have a camp, if you have a campfire,
oh, excellent, excellent ambiance for our storytellings today, and it's always perfect. Truly.
These are the perfect stories. We don't know what stories we're telling each other, but I can tell you, Carly's story, perfect for around a campfire.
And me too. I know that Cecilia's would just be perfectly ideal. Punctuated by a campfire crackle or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So, like you said, Celia, I don't know what story you're telling. You don't know what story I'm telling because we're doing a classic choose your own episode. Mm-hmm. Meaning you're telling a story from somewhere, someone, somehow, usually some kind of ghost. And I'm telling a story of the same kind. And you don't know what I'm telling and I don't know what you're telling. And it's a surprise to us. It's not a surprise to our listeners who've read the description. But if you want to be fun and don't read the description, then you don't have to. And then maybe it's a surprise to you.
Just read the title, and it won't tell you anything, because
as always,
do it.
That's our guarantee and our promise, is our titles will never tell you what's happening in the episode this week.
It might give you a little hint. Sometimes it might give you a hint about absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And that's what we're doing.
And that's the burden we all bear, is just the unknowing coming into our episodes. Celia's going to start us off this week with a doozy of a tale. I know I'm very excited to hear.
Okay, so for my little story, we're going to take you. So you're at your campfire right now. Imagine you're all around your little campfire. And then you get into a little time machine. That's
okay.
Just, like, it just shows up.
What?
A little time machine. And you know what the thing about time machines is that some of them also take you to a different place.
What? This is very... like timey-wimey Doctor Who kind of.
So
time travel and space travel at the same
when
time.
When I'm telling you that there it's a time machine, it's not like the DeLorean, like you're not going to show up the exact same place at a different time. We're going somewhere else. Unless you are in this place, in which, weird because no one lives there.
Whoa.
That's specifically in this spot. In this country, tons of people. Millions of people.
That's great.
This specific location, no one lives there.
Ooh.
So the country we're going to India.
Cool.
Haven't been there.
Love that. Would love to go to India one day.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So this is we're gonna go to the Rajasthan state in northern India.
Okay.
To a 16th century fort called the Bangar Fort.
Ooh.
It's entirely possible I'm saying it wrong, in which case I am sorry. But I'm going to go with Bangar.
Yeah, you're trying your best.
I'm trying, and I didn't look it up, and that's fine.
She's trying her mediumist.
Educated guess. So this is, as I said, it's in northern India. It's located on the borders of the Sariska Tiger Reserve, which is pretty sweet. Oh,
that's very cool.
It's really beautiful. It's like this big old fort. It's kind of located on like a mountainous area. It's very lush and green and just like really like nice.
Classic,
if you want to go there for the scenery.
Classic fort digs, like high up, nice looking. Cool.
Yeah. So it was built in 1573 by the ruler of Amber, who's kind of like the king of the area, sort of.
Wow, that's not a real year.
The Raja. Bhagwant Singh.
Okay.
He built it for his younger son, Madho Singh. Now it's largely in ruins. It's abandoned, though it is well preserved by the local government, and it's a tourist attraction, of course, because of its historical significance.
Love
and
that.
Because it's gorgeous and old and beautiful.
Yeah, all the best things.
And it's popular also because of the spooky legends and ghost stories that locals tell about it.
All the best things. Didn't I say it? Oh, I had a feeling.
So like I said, no one lives there anymore. Like there was a town, kind of a village attached to it, but it's it's abandoned as well.
Spooky.
So there are like places where people live, but not in this like little area.
Okay.
So it's pretty easily accessible by day, but there are signs all over placed there by the Archaeological Survey of India telling visitors not to remain after sunset.
What?
Out of bounds after sunset. Oh. Once it gets dark, get out.
Oh my God.
Is this for like safety reasons? Don't go there. Mm. Or is there something sinister lurking there that might get ya?
They're like, people might fall and trip and sue us, and we're not interested in that. Or ghosts gonna get ya.
Ghosts. Wow. You know who shows up at night? Ghosts.
Ghosts.
And me.
Oh, that's true. Celia just waving from the top. That's what scares them away. They're like, whoa, who's this white girl?
Actually, interestingly enough, and unfortunately for us, not sure if this is like super up to date, because I think I read it on an article from a couple years ago, but while Indian citizens are allowed to visit freely, foreign tourists actually need to get a special permit to enter the premises. So we couldn't like go to India and just show up there. We need to like
have a special
contact
permit.
Someone from the government and get a
dear
permit.
Dear geology, dear rocks, please let us
dear
see.
Archaeological see. Survey.
Okay. Dear not rocks, please let us see the big fort. Thank you.
We want to look at the ghosts.
Yeah.
It seems that this is because a lot of foreign tourists have had a habit of, like, getting lost in the area or being disruptive and not following rules.
Being
and,
a nuisance.
Breaking shit and just being a nuisance. So, if you're Indian, if you live in India, great, go visit it. Tell us how it is. Yeah. Check it out for us.
Archaeological Survey of India, we promise that we would be really respectful and we wouldn't break shit. We want to come to visit, please.
Only ever been respectful to forts.
Always. Especially when there's ghosts involved.
Hashtag respect forts. So we've got a couple legends about the ghosts. Okay, first one is that of a beautiful princess, which is the best start to any legend or story.
It sounds like I wrote it in grade 5, but I'm into it.
I know. You wrote this in grade 5. Wild.
Dang.
So her name is Ratnavati, and she was the daughter, or the granddaughter of Madho Singh, who was the guy who, like, owned the,
right.
It was made for him. So she was beautiful, charming, well-liked, she's a princess, so she's, like, stupid rich, she's gonna be, like, powerful, probably.
Love that for
her.
So
obviously, she gets a ton of wedding proposals coming from all over the
place.
Yes,
girl.
Everyone wants to get with her.
Classic.
One of the men who fell in love with her was a tantric priest who was also an expert in black magic.
Oh! Drama.
So he wasn't, like, entirely delusional. He knew that he was, like, she's way out of, her, like, his league. It's not going to happen.
He's like, I'm just this priest.
I'm just
she's
a
princess.
Priest. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So instead of like going and ask for a hand, he's like, I know black magic. I'm gonna cast a love spell.
No, I've been on Witch Talk, and I know love spells are not the thing. That's what they say.
Don't
do it.
Love spell. It's dangerous. Yeah. Shit.
It's dangerous. Strong magic.
Bad juju.
Can be scary magic.
He is, like, hanging out in the village. He's waiting for his, like, opportunity. And he spots her maid out buying perfume for her. And he casts the love spell on the perfume bottle.
No. Wow.
So he wasn't super smooth about this. So Ratnavati, she, like, figured out what had happened. So she got the perfume, and instead of putting it all over herself, she's like, fuck this, I don't want to fall in love with this weirdo. She threw it out the window and it hit a boulder and smashed.
Whoa. Did that, like, boulder fall in love with the priest?
Kind of. Oh! Because, see, this is how I'm choosing to read this. Was that the perfume leaked all over the boulder, and then because the boulder was attracted to him, it rolled down and it crushed him.
Oh my god! So this boulder crushed this man.
The boulder was like, I need to get this man, and it did, and it crushed him.
It got that man good.
Yeah. I read another version that was like, she threw it at the window and it, like, turned into a boulder, but this makes more sense to me.
Oh, that makes more sense. The rocks live on the ground, below windows usually. So that makes sense.
It smashed, it crushed him. But before he died, as he was like mid getting crushed,
as he was being smooshed,
saw it was gonna happen to him, he cursed the princess, her family, and the entire village. He's like, no one's getting away from this. This is all everyone's fault.
Wow.
And then because of this curse, during the following year, there was a great battle at the fort, and much of like the army was killed. A lot of the inhabitants of the fort were massacred.
Whoa.
Some stories say that the princess was killed in this violence, while others say that she was like sent out and condemned to roam the area, like in some sort of limbo, like she just had to roam forever.
Both so very because drama. Because of this
curse, no one who died at the fort could be reincarnated. It's like sort of a lot of the religious elements in this area believe in reincarnation, but because of this curse, they had to remain at the fort as ghosts. So tons of ghosts. Also, all of the houses in the village don't have roofs.
Okay.
And people say that that's because whenever someone builds a roof in the area after this curse, or after the next curse, could have been both either cursed, the roof always collapses, sometimes killing the inhabitants.
Dang!
So, like, you can't build a roof or it'll collapse. Yeah,
roofs don't fly, and there's lots of ghosts.
Yeah.
Wow.
There is another curse that was placed on. This one's more on the site, I guess, less than the people. I don't know.
Okay.
There's two curses. Sure. So the second one is that when the fort was built, the site was also a meditation spot for a guru, Balu Nath. And the king was respectful, so he went to this guru and he asked if he would let him build his fort, like, close to where he lived and where he like did his meditation. And he agreed under condition that the fort's shadow would never touch his home.
Okay.
So they built the fort, made sure that none of the shadows ever like touched the home, which is like the architects were pissed.
The architects were like, oh my, I hate math, why did so I choose this job? The architects are just you and I just trying to look for a regular gig. It's our summertime gig.
How did I end up building this fort? What happened?
That's so funny. Would pose an incredible challenge. How annoying would that be?
Like this extra the thing shadow. Makes a shadow.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind about the sun and like all the times of year. That's and what I'm saying. Like,
the orbit changes all the time. So you have to be really mindful.
Yeah.
And like, because the king is your guy you're building for, he's gonna want it, you know, as close as possible, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's like, not build like build it big and this is a great spot, so I want it here, but make sure there's a shadow. So the king didn't really think about the engineers or the architects. He's like, no, just do it.
He's like, I'm the king, please just do it.
So they did this, they did it, they figured it out, the promise was kept. And then years later, the grandson of the original person that built this, also the brother of our princess, Ratnavati, his name's Ajab Singh.
Okay.
He took control and he added columns to the fort. And those columns cast a shadow on the house.
What a guy. What a guy.
So because of this, the guru, don't know if the guru is still alive or if he just, like, had this in place. Like, if a shadow ever touches my fucking house.
Yeah, if he was like, curse. I'm just gonna put this out there so that it can never happen.
Yeah. So this probably, I don't know if this was, like, around the same time as this other curse, but he was also, like, cursed, town's cursed, fort's cursed.
Everything's cursed. Curse, curse, curse.
So it's people say that that's why the fort was abandoned, because of both of these curses. Everyone just, like, left the area.
Ah.
There's some other things that might have led to the abandonment. One of them was that Ajab Singh, the guy that built those pillars, he also happened to have built a new fort nearby. So, like, a lot of people living at Bangar, they probably moved there and out of the village. And then in 1783, there was a famine in the area, so a lot of the remaining villagers left trying to find somewhere where there was food.
I mean, fairly so.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what causes famines?
What?
Curses.
Entirely too many curses! Oh my god!
Just
when I thought, like, maybe it would be something else, you hit me with another one.
This is just my conjecture, is like, people, this is like sort of a debunking, was like, oh, well, there was a famine in 1783, and I'm like, well, maybe that was the curse. That's the thing about curses, yeah. You can blame anything on them. So that's any debunking, true. You can be like, yeah. Well, why did they do that? They did that because they were cursed. Why did he build a new fort? Because that fort was cursed.
It's a curse. That's a great explanation. You know, it's a three word explanation. It's the curse.
It's the curse. It's the curse.
Great. Moving along.
Like, that can be my, like, excuse for, like, showing up late. I'm like, I'm cursed. I showed up late one time, and a old witch lady, she cursed me that I always show up late now.
It's very, that book in that movie, Holes. It's very Stanley Yelnats. It's a curse.
Everything's a curse.
It's what just can I curse.
Say? The curse. Yeah.
You will take Madame Zeroni up the mountain. Oh, Eartha Kitt, a freaking legend.
It's the curse.
Eartha Kitt, more like Eartha Cursed.
Eartha Cursed. She's not cursed. She's great.
No, she's curses you. You will take Madame Zeroni up the mountain.
That's the truth.
And sing while I drink. That's how she talks. It's amazing.
I've not seen that movie in like 15 years.
I just know that's how she talks in that movie, and it's incredible. You will carry Madame Zeroni.
Well, you also know the words. So.
Well, that's the only part I know. And then because she goes, and sing while I drink. And I'm like, I always thought that was incredible. Because I was like, I want to be carried up a mountain and someone sing while I drink.
I would love that. People should just carry me everywhere.
Pretty sure you can hire people to do that.
I don't have any money.
Well, that's true. Someone give money to Cecilia so she can hire people
Please
to carry her everywhere.
Donate to me so that someone can carry me anywhere. Or if that's like something you're into, just like carry me around everywhere.
Right. Yeah, let her know. Yeah, let her know.
Okay. We have some spooky tales from more recently.
Ooh. So
one of them is a story of three people who went exploring after dark.
Oh, no.
Which,
oh, no. We know it's
no
a no-no.
Don't do it.
That's
no
correct.
Good, don't do it. So they wanted to see if these rumors of curses and hauntings were true. So one of them, while exploring, fell into a well. Luckily, he was fine. He was injured, but he was rescued by his friends, and they all, like, rushed back to their car to get him to a hospital.
Okay.
But
no.
On the way to the hospital,
no.
They got into a car accident.
No.
And they all died.
It's the curse.
It's the curse.
It's the curse.
Don't go there after dark. You'll be cursed.
Oh, my God. It's the curse. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't carry Madame Zeroni up the mountain and sang what she drank.
A less dramatic story is that a group of friends were visiting, and they were, like, looking around, and they saw what looked like a boy in a house. And the house, according to the story, didn't have a door, which I'm like, what's the house
All right.
for? I don't get it. So they, like, looked in the house, looked around, and they couldn't see him. He was gone.
Sure. He just vanished.
So, ghosts.
Oh!
There's not been a boy here in
at least a year.
In 45 minutes.
And at least 30 seconds.
Locals say that anyone who tries to explore the fort after dark, no one has ever returned to tell their tale.
Ah! That's
so
scary.
Don't do it. The
don't
curse.
Do it. It's cursed.
It's cursed. A lot of temples have been built in the area, all dedicated to different Hindu deities. A lot
Very
of
cool.
priests and sages have visited the fort, and these temples, and they're all sort of like hoping to get rid of the curses and the ghosts.
Yeah.
But so far, no luck. It's still cursed.
Ooh.
So yeah, if you're in India and Indian, check it out. Don't
yes.
go after dark because you
Don't.
Will not return to tell the tale.
Correct.
We want you to return to tell the tale and let us know
yeah,
how it was.
Yeah, because we want to hear the tale. So please return to tell the tale
Please return it all the time.
And please know that it is cursed, okay?
Please, it's cursed.
It's cursed.
It does seem you'll be fine if you go there during the day.
Yeah.
It's only and you can tell the tale. Cursed.
Yeah,
currently,
so don't go to
only
the
nighttime cursed. Although I guess no one lives there because you can't build a roof.
Can't build a roof because the curse. So.
Because the curse. The roof That's will right. collapse on you.
Nighttime,
and you'll be
crushed. Nighttime falls, so does the roof. Period. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so do you. You fall, you're dead.
That's, yeah, right. You get squished by a rock. Or a roof.
Crushed by a roof.
Crushed by a roof or rock. One of the two. Oh, that's very dramatic.
Yeah.
Get roofed. Oh, that's funny. Get roofed. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Dear. Yeah, so
that's wild.
It. Cursed.
That's totally wild. I feel like I've looked into that place before, so I am very glad that you did it, Cecilia. Because I definitely didn't. You beat me to it, baby. Well, a place that I've beat you to is a place I'm about to tell you about and our friends.
Okay.
And we are headed not to India, but on our side of the world, just a whole bunch south. Because we are headed to Chile.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
So, I will be talking today about La Noria, which is a ghost town in Chile.
Spooky.
Chile, located in the western part of South America, between the Andes to the east and the Pacific Ocean to the west, it is the southernmost country in the world. Damn. And meaning that it's the closest to Antarctica, which I didn't know that. I just learned
Isn't
that today.
Is it also really, like, long? Is Chile the one that's, like...
Yeah, it's a long boy.
Yeah.
Classic long boy.
The longest country in the world.
Longest southest
it's
country
so
in the world.
Skinny.
It's a skinny legend. Its neighboring countries include Peru, Bolivia, and Argentina. In the mid-16th century, Spain colonized the area, which is why everyone there speaks Spanish now, which is why it's the official language, replacing the Inca rule, but failed to conquer the Mapuche in south-central Chile. Though now and since the 1800s, the Chilean government has stolen and occupied their land. You know.
Of course they have.
Same old terrible story of colonization.
Classic.
A double wipeout through hundreds of years. Classic.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought that up because the name Chile might have come from either the Incas, who at first started to conquer Chile in their own right, or it was inspired by a similar valley or town in Peru. But the one that I think is most probable, in my understanding, is that it might be from a Mapuche word, meaning where the land ends, which I really like, meaning, like, basically the end of the earth, which I think is, that's what Chile is. Like, there's nothing else past it.
There's water.
There's water and then Antarctica.
Penguins.
So, like, you know. Not really much. It's kind of the end of the earth. Think about it. Could be.
Here be penguins.
Here be penguins. That's how people talk on their way to Antarctica. They say, here they go.
I can't wait to see some penguins.
We're ready.
They're so ready for penguins.
So many penguins.
I love penguins.
They're a classic. They really are. Such a good book company. Penguin. Deep in the deserts, at the ends of the earth, lies an abandoned mining town, Cecilia.
Okay.
This town is called La Noria.
Okay.
And Chile, in my mind, is famous for its mines. Especially, do you remember in 2010 when they had that big Chilean mining collapse?
Yeah.
And there were 33 men who were stuck in the mines. The Chilean miners.
Bad.
For 69 days. But they all got out and were fine in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to me, I've always in my brain been like, yeah, Chile, mines. Because that, like, was news has always been stuck in my brain. So it's no surprise that deep in the Atacama Desert, there lies some abandoned mining towns, possibly around 200 or so, like a whole bunch of mining towns.
Mm-hmm.
One of which has developed a particularly ghostly reputation through the years. So I'm going to get into a little bit about Chilean mining. At the end of the 19th century, the Chilean economy was booming as saltpeter mines like La Noria thrived and the others in the area. These towns are located in extreme heat and arid conditions, meaning Lots of hot, no water.
Lots of hot
and no water. Mm-hmm. So working and living in these towns was no picnic, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Eventually, with the creation of a synthetic version of potassium nitrate, which saltpeter is potassium nitrate. So, and if you don't know what potassium nitrate is, if you're not a chemist like me, I'll explain it to you. It's white crystalline salt, often used in fertilizer. It's also used in a lot of foods as like a meat preservative and whatnot. It's also integral to making gunpowder. Mm. So makes sense why it was so important.
Yeah.
During that time. So once they could make a synthetic version of it around World War One, just after World War One, the towns, like all boom towns, you know, all mining boom towns, because mining is not a craze as it once was for many places.
Especially when they mine everything up.
Especially when they do open pit mining and there's nothing there left. So there's the mines dried up, but also they just didn't need it anymore. Wasn't as easy to extract a lot. And so they left behind the mines, and they left the towns emptied. Workers left because there's no work to be done. They left their homes, and they left their dead in their cemeteries.
Did you bring those with them?
Nope. Because as I mentioned, life in the desert towns was hard. Workers were treated horribly. Conditions were poor. Water scarcity was an issue. It is also a place that has the highest solar radiation on Earth. Is the Atacama Desert. And it was also, like many deserts, most deserts, it's extremely cold at night. So it's hot in the day, cold in the night. As well, in these towns, workers were paid in company tokens, not cash. And these tokens could be redeemed at the company store.
I hate that.
It's the worst. Capitalism is evil. As well, to no surprise, child mortality was very high in these communities. And there were times where, like, an epidemic like tuberculosis would be devastating for the people of these... Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. How did I say this? Salitreras. That's not right.
What does that mean?
It's like the salt places. That's like the kind of mining.
Salitrera. Yeah.
Salitreras. I think that's
Salitrera.
It. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where the stress was. I didn't write it right. Would be devastating to the people of these salitreras. And I apologize for my Spanish. It's not one of my languages I speak, though I want to learn. I'm trying. I watched Encanto 4 times this week. I'm trying.
Oh my God.
No, I watched it once. I listened to the soundtrack probably like 3 or 4 times.
I haven't watched it yet. I've heard it's not great.
It's very cute. It's very adorable. Mm-hmm. It's good. I liked it. Mm-hmm. But then again, I love a like multi-generational story. Mm-hmm. That focuses on, like, family. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, you know, has flaws, as everything does. Survival was a struggle in the Atacama Desert and at La Noria and the neighboring towns, as is made clear by the thousands of graves dotted across the Atacama Desert in abandoned cemeteries. But one of these town cemeteries is its most infamous, and that, of course, is La Noria. So I first heard of La Noria years ago when I heard the story of a peculiar tiny body that was unearthed there in 2003. So the harsh environment's conditions in the region sometimes results in, like many other deserts in the world, mummification of bodies, and this case was one of them.
How tiny are you talking? Because I'm picturing, like, George Shrieks, like, a tiny boy.
You kind of should be, because when this small 6-inch skeletal body was unearthed,
what?
The first thing people noted were its abnormalities, being...
Six inch?
Yeah, being an elongated, like, cone-shaped head, 2 pairs less ribs than expected, and even though it was a small frame, it had some features found in children aged 6 to 8. A mystery.
George Shrinks?
An alien? When it was found, it was immediately purchased by a private collector in Spain for a lot of money. As well, UFO enthusiasts paid large sums to photograph the tiny body, and x-rays were taken. They called this tiny being humanoid, which is a bummer, because they were like, maybe it's from another planet?
Or it's probably just like a person.
The reality, Celia, you're onto it, is much sadder and graver than that. In 2013, a documentary determined she was a little girl of likely Chilean ancestry using DNA from her bone tissue. Of course, this makes the most sense because when she was first found buried beside the church at Lenoria, she was found carefully covered in a white cloth and a violet ribbon. We might not know if she was born alive, but it's clear someone cared for her in death much more than the scientific and conspiracy communities who for years have paraded her likeness across the deepest corners of the internet, which is where I first came across her. The town of Lenoria was abandoned in the 1930s after its use to other mining towns in the area as a big old train stop, because that was something else Lenoria was mostly.
Of course.
It was like a big like depot spot. Waned, but Atta, as the internet has dubbed this poor little girl, was likely not buried at Lenoria until sometime in the 1970s, given the high quality of DNA the scientists were able to obtain from her. So, if anyone knows anything about DNA, if anybody's into true crime, kind of like we are, DNA degrades over time, and if it was earlier when the town was in its boomtown heyday, the DNA wouldn't have been as easy or as bountiful. But given the amount of DNA they were able to extract, they've kind of estimated she might have been buried in the 70s.
Was anyone living there in the 70s?
No, it was already an abandoned town by that time.
That's so weird.
I know. But the 1970s was a big period of unrest in Chile. So there's a good chance that she did not originate in Lenoria, but rather was put to rest there by way of a family from elsewhere. And I got a lot of my information today from findagrave.com, Wikipedia, amyscrypt.com, anomalalien.com, aelmercurio.com, thegarden.com, stuff.co.nz. But she's not the only body unearthed at Lenoria, which is wild. Because that's already a wild ride.
I mean, that's enough. That's wild. Why is she so tiny? Is it a baby or is it like some sort of like weird deformity?
Yeah. So I think that people have gathered that she was, just a small, sad baby that probably wasn't born alive, like probably was still born and just had so many weird abnormalities.
Yeah. That people are like, alien.
Yeah. And like had a family that tried really like, was either, you know, suspicious or scared or didn't have money or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so they buried her. Also, she was found buried, like, right beside the church, which is, like, as we know, churches are consecrated ground. So whoever buried this girl...
So they're probably, like, religious.
Lovingly, yeah, probably just wanted her, you know, buried on consecrated ground, which is, like, truly so much sadder than, it's an alien from another planet! And like I remember this, I've seen this picture, the picture of her. If you Google it, you'll absolutely recognize it. Because it's the one that's like aliens are real. Like it's been around since 2003, early internet days was when she was found. In 2013, the documentary debunked her, and then in 2018, scientists in the U.S. and whatnot further debunked.
What did you say her name was?
They call her Atta, A-T-A. Because she was found in the Atacama Desert.
Atacama skeleton?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so wild looking. Yeah, no wonder they thought it was an alien. It looks very, spooky. She looks fake.
I know. It looks like one of a lot of the fake internet hoaxes. But, she's a real little girl, which is, really sad because now she's just living in a drawer in Spain.
Some guy just has her.
Where she's meant to be. It's so weird. But hers is not the only body to be unearthed at Lenoria, though it is the most famous, because the cemetery at Lenoria has a hella haunted reputation. Most of the shallow graves there, Cecilia, are just open. Coffins dug up with partially dressed skeletons lying in and out of them. Many say locals are reluctant to go here, especially at night.
Well, there's skeletons just all over the
place. There's just holes and skeletons hanging out, which makes sense. I wouldn't want to fall into a hole with a skeleton. It'd be terrible. I would feel so bad.
Yeah.
Whether that has to do with the fact that there's ghosts or that it's really remote in nature in the scorching desert, scientists still don't know. But when the sun goes down, things apparently get terrifying. Paranormal activity, as I've said, is very common. Folks have reported many of the classics we have come to know and love here at Ghosts Everywhere, like disembodied voices, just screaming, footsteps that walk towards them with no feet to be seen making them.
Was there a body, though?
It's just that there's footprints, but a body just floating. Legless.
There's a person, but it doesn't have any feet.
Oh, he's making stuff, but he's got footsteps. No feet. No, no body either. But many believe the place is so active because the cemetery has long been victim to, folks say, looters and grave robbers who've disturbed the rest of the dead, whose wooden crosses cover the expanse of the cemetery.
Rudeness.
And I think a lot of it also is like, not only maybe grave robbers and whatnot, but my understanding is the conditions of a desert. So sand moves, ground shifts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holes open up, you know, there's wind. It's in places like extreme weather, things don't last. So
there's a reason that a lot of, like, cemeteries and places like that are, like, people are buried in crypts above ground. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And because it's such a remote place, all of these, it's all very rugged. And, like, there's a lot of coffins, but they're, like, wooden coffins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like, shaped like a coffin. You know, they're not, like it's classic what you can expect. Yeah, that's why the, like, all of the hillside is covered in wooden crosses, like, it's materials
it's
that
what they have.
They had, and you could get in there through the train. Choo-choo. And also, again, all these people are being paid in tokens
fake
for the
money.
Company store. So, like, these people are poor. They're a lot of this is basically slave labor. A lot of
this
is,
like, oh, absolutely.
Horrible it's conditions. Like,
here's
like,
this money that we're going to give you, and you can spend it on
us. Yes! It's so messed up. It's so messed up.
But it's not like they can, like, send money away to, like, ship anything in.
No.
Like, I'm sure back then, like, that would have been pretty difficult to do anyway. But
yeah. But if they had the capital, I'm sure you could make it happen. But no,
yeah,
it wasn't,
or, like,
it wasn't like
somewhere else.
No, it wasn't like a lot of the other mining towns that we have known or talked about on this mm-hmm. podcast. Like, it's not like Cerro Gordo. At Cerro Gordo, yeah, things were tough and things were bad and things were hard, but these people still made money. Like,
mm-hmm.
the thing about La Noria and the other towns too is these weren't just Chilean folks. Like, people came from all over the world to work these mines as well. Like, it's terrible that, you know, the folks of Chile were this was happening to them, but people came because they were thought mm-hmm. there was a promise of, you know, money and prosperity.
Yeah.
And then they were paid tokens and...
Which is wild if you are paying someone exclusively in tokens. Like, you're not going to make any money to be able to go anywhere else.
No.
Like, you can't
you're stuck
go
there.
In and, like, make a bit of money and then leave. Because I feel like that's lot of mining operations where people would, like, come in, work.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they work now. Like, you go there, mm-hmm. you work a month, and then you, like, leave for a while, and you come back, and you work for, like, a month, make a bunch of money, and
yeah.
go off on your merry way.
Well, that's the draw for a lot of
of
jobs like that that demand a lot from you, both physically and mm-hmm. mentally, and, you know, and
you
safety
just put
wise
the work in.
Yeah, and you get in, you get out. Like, there's mm-hmm. a reason why these, like, jobs like that pay a lot of money, or are supposed to. But yeah, in this case, it was not.
No.
And yeah, a lot of the graves also have, like, not only where these people were from, which is why a lot of people know that they're from all over, but also, like, a lot of ways how folks died. And a lot of them are just,
wild.
Like, accidents. Like,
uh-huh.
and, like, for reasons of just being a miner, which is because it's a dangerous job.
I do love, it is wild when gravestones, like, say how people died.
I'm obsessed with it. We need to bring that back.
So
I think
funny.
We should bring that back.
Because
I love it. I think it's really funny.
I think we should go back at gravestones that we know how people died, like gravestones that have been made.
Yes.
And, you know, just, like, write that on their gravestone because I think it's very important.
And add it. People need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Slipped on banana peel. Like, people need to know, you know?
Yeah.
Buried
I
alive.
All the details. Like, you know when you're at a cemetery and you see someone and they, like, died young, or they like seemed interesting. You're yes. like, I want to know what happened to this yeah. person.
How'd you get here? And what's what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do these years not match up in my brain? Yeah.
We need like, is this a thing? Am I like just making this up, or is this something that's real? That like they've been, that they put like QR codes on gravestones so you can like scan them and like read about someone's life.
I'm 90% sure that you didn't make that up. But okay. also, I think that's really funny, because yeah, can, archaeologists like, in 1,000 years are going to yeah. be like, they're all part of the same cult. Look, they all have the same symbol.
They all have the symbol on it, but it's slightly different. Why is it slightly different? But yeah, you can, like, scan it, and you can, like, get access to their, like, Instagram.
I'm pretty
and
sure. like, yeah.
the pictures of them, and, like, a little biography. Like, that's what I want. I want more information. I want to yes. be able to spend a whole day in a cemetery and, like, also...
Know everything about everyone, please.
You know, like, I have spent whole days in cemeteries, but I want more information. I don't yeah. want to just be, like, wandering aimlessly.
Yeah, we're nosy. We want to know. We wanna want to go to a cemetery know. And not have to, if it's a famous cemetery, not have to pay $5 for a map that will tell right. us where people are. We just want to wander. We want to scan QR codes. We want to find information.
Scan QR codes.
Is that too much to ask?
Maps to be better. A lot of cemeteries have like online maps, but they're so hard.
That's true. They're rather hard to understand. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I can say for sure that there's no QR codes at Lenoria. Because oh, that's not a thing. We should,
people haven't
yeah.
lived there since.
People haven't lived there since the 1930s, so that's not no, happening.
They didn't have QR
codes. Nearly 100 years since people have lived there, so that's not, that's not happening. But there are lots of ghosts, and let me tell you about some. There's been reports, not only of the voices and the screaming and the steps with no bodies, there's also been reports of ghost children, Cecilia, creeping Ooh. Around the abandoned schools at night. Which is our least favorite, is ghost children.
I don't like ghost children. Scary. They're creepy. Scary. They all sing together.
And they always laugh and sing.
They always laugh and sing. Scary. And that's scary when children laugh and sing.
It's really terrifying. It's the thing that scares us the most in the world. Other people have seen full body apparitions, and there's also been sightings of shadow people wandering the streets Ew. Of town. Yeah, which is freaky. But perhaps most reported of all is that after sundown, the dead sit up, rise from their graves, and make their way down from the cemetery into town.
Ew.
And I can only picture it's that scene from Corpse Bride where all the dead are back in the realm of the living and they walk into the church and everyone's like, be back, go back, be, say, be gone.
I don't remember Corpse Bride.
Oh, it's really funny. All the dead people are coming to the church because it's a wedding, and the priest is like, stay back, Satan. And the guy goes, quiet down, we're in a church. It's really funny.
We're going to a wedding, we have places to be.
Yeah.
They just get up. I thought you were going to say they all get up and they go to the mines. Like, they got to go to work.
Oh, they got to go to work. That would be a bummer town.
I know.
That would be a big time bummer. Like, I mean, maybe some thing. Of them do, but... I know. Maybe. Yeah. I hope that they're just going to town and having a good time.
Well, the ones that work in town.
That's true.
They gotta go run that town store. Gotta go make those tokens.
Gotta go make sure you count all the tokens. All of them are accounted for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's Lenoria. It's really hard to get to, apparently.
So it's in the middle of the Chilean desert.
It's the middle of the Chilean desert. It's very...
The choo-choo doesn't go there anymore?
No, the choo-choo don't go there anymore. From Amy's Crypt, I read her little article on her website, and I also watched a bit of her, she made a YouTube video going mm-hmm. there, and she, like, they drove as far as they could, they kind of got lost, there was a lot of, like, barricades, like, I guess military mm-hmm. barricades to, like, make people not go into mines and stuff, yeah. Or not, maybe not military barricades, but police barricades or whatever.
Yeah.
And so then they found a way in that they were allowed to go. And then they eventually had to drive as far as they could and then hike, like, miles in.
Really? There's yeah. no roads that go there?
No, because the closest thing, Cecilia, to it is a gas station that's 20 miles away.
Jesus.
So if you're brave...
It's really out there.
Feeling like you want to go to Lenoria, just know that, like...
Hard to get to.
It yeah. sounds like a place I'd love to go, but I'm happy just looking at pictures because that sounds awful.
I can go to easier to access ghost towns and yes they all look the same,
right? Same, like, I'll get the gist of it, but yeah, so that's Lenoria in Chile.
And,
that's Oofy. That I know, right? Oh, I have a correction that I want to say from last week. I think I said the voice of the new Dracula is, I can't remember what I think his name, I called him
you
Caleb
said
or something.
Like a TikTok person.
No, it's a YouTube person. His name is Brian Hull. His name's Brian Hull. I think the other guy that I mentioned is also a YouTube guy. I got them confused because I've seen their names before. Different YouTube guy. Because the other guy, I think he just does like covers of Disney songs and stuff. But Brian Hull is the voice actor impression guy.
How dare you?
I know. I'd like to make a personal apology to Brian Hull for not knowing that he was the one who's Dracula.
He's actually the star of Hotel Transylvania.
He is the hotel. You know, he puts a hotel in Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, wow. No, he's the Dracula. I haven't watched it yet.
Me neither. I'm scared to watch it. I just want it to be good.
I am sure I'll like it, even if it's bad, is the thing.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Speaking of, I mean, a movie that is bad and I didn't like it. I've been watching all the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, you gotta get in the Spider-Man?
I've been watching the Spider-Man.
Spider-Mans.
Mr. Spider-Man. And I really had a great time watching the Tobey Maguire movies.
Nice.
But classic. I got onto the Andrew Garfield movies. And I will say, I think Andrew Garfield is a great Spider-Man. He's perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
But those movies are trash.
Oh, see, I haven't rewatched them since I watched them because I think he's excellent Spider-Man.
He's great, and Emma Stone is great, and they're great together. And some of the other performances are really good. Like Sally Field's really good.
But as movies, they're garbage.
As movies, especially the second one. I watched the second one last night, and it's just so boring and long and like.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember them being disjointed. Long. Doesn't one of them have like a bus of children at one point and like. I just remember it kept going, and I was like, what's happening, and why am I watching this? I do remember that, actually.
Yeah.
But Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone will be getting me through, so I do love them.
They're so good. They're, like, their chemistry is amazing.
They're so good. They are such a beautiful couple.
They're so
beautiful. Such a beautiful couple.
It almost gets me through, but I'm like, yeah. No.
I love the Spider-Man curse, Cecilia, that the Spider-Men always date the Spider-Women.
And then they always break up. Zendaya
they're okay.
It's just that they date each other.
Yeah, it's just that they get together. They're just dating. They're just a couple of kids. They're just dating.
The Spidey and his girl, they always get together. And it's
Spidey and the Spidey women.
I'm gonna watch the Tom Holland one and those ones, and I'll get back to you. I'll let you know. But cool. I will. I'm a little nervous because I am not a Tony Stark fan, and I know he's heavily featured.
Right. Oh, I too am not an Iron Man gal.
I remember that's something that bothered me about those Spider-Mans, which I haven't seen all of them, but like
the Spider-Mans.
The first Spider-Man. The first Tom Holland Spider-Man is real heavy on the Iron Man, and I'm like, why?
Why?
Do this to me.
My dad loves Iron Man, and my sister likes him too, and I just don't get it. I never have, and I never will.
You can't do it.
No, I can't do it. I'm not interested. I think it's because my dad wants to be Iron Man. Like, I think he sees other, like, superheroes, and he's like, I can't do that. But, like, Iron Man, I could put on a suit. My dad's like, I could wear a suit. So I think for him, he feels like he wants it because it feels most attainable. But I'm like, but that's not a reason to like a superhero
if you're
the most.
Billionaire, sure.
Right? I'm like, that's messed up, Dad.
No. Don't love it. Can't do it.
But I mean, my favorite superhero canonically is not the best either. But that's on me. Patriotism. Captain America. It's America.
Like, oh yeah, Captain America.
No.
The Captain of America.
The Captain of America. Freedom. He stands for freedom.
I have been finding myself just leaning towards villains because they're always more interesting. And like the superheroes.
Oh, always.
They all suck. So I'm like, Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. I would say that my favorite like superhero is probably Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But then.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense
more. I'm a big Poison Ivy head.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. I mean, the villains, are always more interesting because they have to be. Because they have to have something going for them or else people just hate them. Like, you want people to love a villain.
Yeah.
You know, because you want the conflict to be rich and good.
And then often just like their portrayals in film are like way better. Like Michelle Pfeiffer, so Catwoman.
Yeah, iconic. Yeah. That's true. I see. I keep forgetting about Catwoman. I always think she's fine. I always forget that she's a villainess. I always forget that. Mm. I always think she's just a lady being a cat. Yeah.
No, she's not a lady. She is a lady. She is a lady and a cat. And sometimes she's Anne Hathaway, and that's your favorite actress. So.
Oh, no, I was waiting for you to bring up Halle Berry Catwoman. Can you skip right to Anne Hathaway? You do me like that.
I haven't seen Halle Berry Catwoman.
That's the only one I think I've seen that I remember. No. I remember it from the early 2000s. Mm-mm. I think we got it in like a cereal box or something, I swear. Remember when they used to put DVDs or CD-ROMs in cereal boxes?
Yeah. I don't think it, yeah, like the CD-ROMs, like the games. We would play the cereal box games a lot.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I just called it CD-ROM, but yeah.
CD-ROM.
That's me. I'm 87 years old.
We got the CD-ROMs.
Back in my day, in our cereal, we'd get CD-ROMs.
We did get CD-ROMs in cereal. What are kids these? Do you think people are getting, like, I don't eat cereal. Do you get, like, the USB...
Thing from your series. Yeah, no, they're getting QR codes, Cecilia, to scan.
Oh, yeah, you don't need a physical thing.
Don't need a thing.
You just get like a website that you have to go to.
Yeah. Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that QR code. That's what I always say.
Oh, QR codes.
QR codes changing lives.
Wow.
Yeah.
What else we got to update? Carly, I finished Succession.
Tell us your feelings about it.
It's great. Love it. All the characters are trash.
Oh, they're all garbaggio to the max.
Yeah. I was having a good time. They all had a terrible time in the last episode, and I was like, wow, yeah, of course.
Yes. Well, I mean, they can't make them have a good time. No. Like, everyone's getting progressively worse, which is the best.
Which is great.
Much like Search Party, everyone's getting worse and worse.
Oh my god, I did finish Search Party too, and just I was like, wow, yep, they did it.
Right? They did that thing! They did it. Oh, it's such an excellent season. What a great way to end that show.
Spoilers, like, skip ahead, like, a minute, if you don't want to have the last season of Search Party. But they, like, went... full zombie apocalypse there.
Full zombie apocalypse. Like, they were giving it. Like, they... Oh, my God. It was so funny.
I didn't expect it. I was like, where is this going? And then, you know, they start off going one way, and they're like, oh, we're gonna go this other way. I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay, yes.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. Also, oh, my God. Anna Nicole just texted me. I love her so much. She just said, Carly... what two episodes of your ghost podcast would you recommend most to university students? So, Cecilia, what episodes should we plug to the university students? Relatable.
I don't know. I have to look into it. I don't know. Which ones are really the teen? Which ones will the teens enjoy?
Which ones will the teens enjoy? These are the questions.
The Gen Z kids enjoy.
That's right. Yeah, maybe not this one where we say CD-ROM.
Yeah, we definitely CD-ROM, and if we say that, we will be canceled.
No, they're going to say these are old ladies. We can't let them see us be so
old. I started out so well talking about QR codes, and then you come in with your CD-ROM.
I'm sorry.
You ruined this for us. Carly's the only one that's old. I was born in 2000.
You're a friggin' liar. Hey, we are cusp Gen Z, okay?
We are cusp.
We are literally the cusp. We are young. We have a toe in both worlds. We're millennials that can't buy a house, and we're Gen Zers that had CD-ROMs in our cereal. That's who we are, okay?
We're the best of both worlds.
The best of both worlds. We appeal to the olds and the youngs, and everyone's in between.
Yeah.
And you're welcome for it.
Mm-hmm. Do you got anything else? Oh, Carly.
Oh, yeah. Cecilia.
I have a question.
Sure.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
Oh my god. Actually, I have absolutely not, because I just haven't. But I've seen a lot of compilations on YouTube of Whose Line Is It Anyway? Wow. Best of. So, I mean, which one is more valuable?
It's like the ghosts of improv's past.
Ghosts of improv's past, yeah. So I've seen that, but not so much.
So you've seen something, you just haven't seen ghosts.
Yeah, Correct. I'm seeing. Like, yeah, I, my vision's fine.
I'm really glad that you can see. Your glasses are working.
Yeah, my glasses, my contacts, as long as I put them on, it's working. So I can see.
You can see. Congratulations.
Thank you. Celia, I have a question for you, actually. It's a hot, burning topic question, and I really need you to answer it.
Did not expect you to ask me a question.
I'm just wondering if you've seen any ghosts lately.
Also, no. I've seen a lot of... sometimes I think that snow is ghosts, because when it's falling, it's like little tiny ghosts.
Whoa.
So...
conspiracy.
Maybe snow is ghosts, and actually, we're just like coated in ghosts right now. There's ghosts... everywhere. Piles and piles of tiny little ghosts.
Everywhere.
Ghosts are everywhere. Ghosts especially are right everywhere, now.
Cecilia. Oh my god. Tiny ghosts. As a kid, I remember there was a joke that some of my church friends would make as a kid. It's just God's dandruff. And that just came to my brain.
That's
and I
want
to scrape that from my brain. So that was me saying it out loud so I could windshield wipe it from my brain.
That, and I hate it. And actually, it's tiny ghosts falling from the sky because
there's I like that ghosts. Much better.
There's too many ghosts in the clouds because ghosts live in clouds. There's too many ghosts in the heavens, so when the heavens get overwhelmed,
oh my god, they just drop them back down like
drop a bunch of ghosts. So they were really overwhelmed the other day. They dropped a shit ton of ghosts.
Just so many ghosts, more ghosts than you could ever count in your whole life.
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible. I don't know if I can get behind your pseudoscience, but I support it. And that might be the same thing.
It's not pseudoscience. It's real.
Oh, okay, great.
It's real science.
Well, then I...
A woman who's done.
Never have I ever said I was a scientist, but sign me up.
Scientist me up.
I hated that. Ew. you can follow us on the internet. You don't need a QR code. You probably know where to find us. And if you don't, Celia, where can they find us?
Twitter at GAE pod, and we don't really use it, but it'll let you know when we have episodes out. And we
That's
also
right.
have an email if you want to send us a letter,
a love letter, a ghost letter.
Just tell us a story, tell us about any your kind day. Of letters. Send us anything, we don't care. We'll probably.
Hey! We want to maybe start a TikTok. Should we do that? Yeah. You tell us.
Let us know, Gen Z.
Yeah, we're... tell us, our fellow Gen Zers. Should we have a TikTok?
Should we make a TikTok? And what kind of TikTok content you want to see out there?
That's right. Our
kids?
Oh, God, don't call them kids. They're not going to love us anymore. Thanks for joining us this week, as always. We big ol' love ya.
Kisses.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Well done.
Well done. Well done.
Never been better.
Never been done before.